Okay, welcome to another episode of the On.net show. And today we've got Chris Gillum, who's actually been on the show before, to talk about Azure Functions. So just quickly introduce yourself again, and then what is it that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, my name is Chris. I'm a software engineer on the Azure Functions team. And specifically, we're going to talk about durable functions. And you and I have talked about this before.
Durable functions, yeah. So why did we need to talk about this again?
Because, I mean, why wouldn't you want to talk about it again?
Yeah.
No, so what I wanted to hope to cover this time around was actually how to do some debugging and diagnostics of your durable functions.
When things go badly.
Yes. So, we do a great job of showing what you can do and all the fun things that you can start, but how do you figure it out when it goes wrong?
Okay. Now, when I kind of have thought about this space before, there's, dev diagnostics, to help me build the right code in the first place. Mm-hmm. There's sort of like production diagnostics. How do I, find out how things are doing in production, or I actually know things are going badly, find out what the root cause is. And then the last is some kind of like analytics of how the app is being used. Mm-hmm. Which ones of these are we going to talk about today?
So we're going to touch on a little bit of all of those.
Okay.
Kind of, local development debugging as well as production debugging and analytics.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So where do we start?
Sure. Well, I guess just as a reminder, this is an open source project. We're on GitHub. We're actually a proper extension of Azure Functions that has its own repo here, Azure Functions Durable Extension.
Yeah.
So anybody can go to this. You can find links to our documentation and various topics. And in fact, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about are going to be in this diagnostics in durable functions. A topic which you can find here. So lots of good stuff there. But the first thing I kind of wanted to jump into was the kind of more the development experience. So just as kind of a recap, two different types of functions in durable functions. You have your orchestrator functions, which uses orchestrator trigger. That is the main purpose of this, is to call the activity functions and sequence them or run them in parallel. And in this case, I just have a very simple call one after the other, save the outputs, and this say hello activity trigger simply just returns a string.
Right. Yeah, I remember the diagrams that you had last time.
Right. And so just, F5 to start this project. This is an Azure Functions project, which you can create in the recent versions of Visual Studio. And that's going to go ahead and start this up. And just to begin, I'm going to, let's wait for this to happen. So we've got a couple of endpoints that we've defined in here. One of them allows me to start one of my orchestrator functions by name. I'm just using a regular HTTP trigger.
Right. Now, are these on your machine currently, or these are somehow in Azure already?
So this is completely on my local machine
Okay. Right
now. Yep, I'm using the Azure Storage emulator and everything. So nothing is leaving this laptop yet. So I'm going to go ahead and start this function.
Right, and this HTTP command, it's basically like curl.
Yeah, sorry, I'm using HTTP PI. I like it because it's really good with doing JSON things.
Yeah, totally.
Much better than curl, or at least much easier.
Yes, the readout is nicer. Curl is very black and white.
Yeah. And so basically, I just get hello Tokyo, hello Seattle, hello London. Basically just what I told it to print in my activity function. So nothing super interesting or exciting there. But what I wanted to show is what happens when you add logging statements to the orchestrator function. Now this is important because a lot of people, when they look at durable functions, they don't necessarily read all the docs. They stop at a certain point and forget that one of the important runtime behaviors of these orchestrator functions, what kind of makes them stateful and long-running and durable, is that they actually replay each time after resuming from an await call, replay from the beginning. So I'm just going to add these log statements. Let's go ahead and run this and see what happens. So I'm just going to start this guy back up again.
Right. So that log was TraceWriter Does that have anything to do with the iLogger interface that you talked about at the start, or that's kind of slightly separate?
It's slightly separate. It's the old style logging that we used to do. We also support iLogger, but for simplicity case, I'm just using the TraceWriter for this one. But anyways, okay, so the functions host has started up. I'm going to run this again, and we're actually going to see something maybe a little bit surprising when we look at this.
Love to be surprised.
Yes, we're actually going to see that we're starting up multiple times here. Starting up, hello Tokyo. Starting up, hello Seattle. Starting up, hello London. And then at the very end, we get that done message. And so this is something that you have to be very aware of when doing logging, when writing an orchestrator function. And so typically what our guidance is around this is if you do need to add log statements here, we have this nice little context dot is replaying check that you can do before your log statements here.
Yeah, I would say that was surprising.
Yeah, it's not something that you would expect right away. We're looking into ways to maybe make this a little bit simpler so you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, because that if statement is a bit bizarre.
It is a bit bizarre, but certainly something we want folks to be aware of.
Absolutely.
So if I run this again now that I have these if checks, and I'll mention again that this is all in preview, so we're still finalizing it.
So that one seemed to do the same thing as before.
Sorry, I made a mistake here.
I think
which
you wanted,
which is why we're debugging.
Yeah, I think you wanted a not there. I should have actually caught that.
Yeah. So if we run this again, if it is not replaying, please log that.
Yeah, no. If it does it again, we'll be really confused.
For sure. So now we started that again, and now we get the output that we expect. So again, this is just more of kind of, hey, be aware, there is this replay behavior. Same thing you need to be aware of if you're attaching breakpoints. You know, you may hit the same breakpoint multiple times for a single execution.
Okay.
Something to be aware of, something to be kind of prepared for.
Yeah, that reminds me a little bit of multi-threaded debugging.
Yeah, for sure. So anyways, that's just something I wanted to kind of cover a little bit regarding local development. What's maybe a little bit more interesting.
Just one question on traces. I certainly see how those are useful for local debugging. Mm-hmm. Now, would you recommend that people remove those before going to production, or what's the thought on that? Or it's fine to leave those in place?
It's fine to leave those in place. So typically for production, what we advise people to do is configure application insights on your function app. And you can when you create the function app in the portal, you're actually going to see an option to configure application insights. And once you do that, you'll be able to have a link here in your overview page, which will take you directly to your application insights instance, and you'll be able to see all those trace statements show up there. So this is just a regular feature of Azure Functions.
Right, and so you set it on the whole application as opposed to on a function-by-function basis?
That's right,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay. So one other new feature we recently rolled out was the ability to... So last time we showed you can query the status of one of these orchestrations that you started. But to improve kind of diagnosability, another thing that we added was this ability to see the actual execution history from this REST API. So we ran this orchestration. We got back an HTTP 202 accepted. We got back this location header. And what you can do...
What's the difference between 200 and 202? I actually don't know that.
So 200 is okay.
Yeah.
You know, we did the thing that you asked us to do. 202 accepted means that, hey, I got your request. I'm going to go do some work in the background now. It may not be done yet.
Oh.
And then often what you do is return a location header like this one, which says, here's where you can go to check on status of that long-running request that you just started.
I see. So that kind of means there was no immediate payload, at least with respect to what you asked, but there's a way to get it later.
That's
interesting.
Right. Yeah. So this is a common pattern for people who build HTTP APIs that maybe, you know, take a long time to run. And so we have support for that out of the box. When you start these functions, you can get links to that.
Is it a polling idea then? So you have this location API.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly familiar with paging systems where you have a next
uh-huh.
URL. So that's a little bit like that, except there's only one next.
Yeah.
But with the next one, the expectation is next is immediately available.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, it might not be. So if I call on this URL immediately,
mm-hmm.
will I just wait, or what does that look like?
Yeah, it's definitely a polling based API.
Okay, polling.
So if I do actually let me surround this with quotes. Sometimes the Windows command line gets confused. So in this case, because this is a really short function, it's actually going to return 200 okay.
Because it was done.
Because it was done.
I see. Whereas if it was still waiting, we would still get these 202s.
That's right. You'd still get the 202s. You'd still get the location header. And that's a signal back to you to say that, hey, it's still running. Keep querying at this endpoint.
Okay.
And you know, occasionally.
I buy that.
Yeah. There may be a retry after header as well, suggesting, hey, we try again in 5
right.
seconds.
Yeah.
That sort of a thing.
Now, okay.
So what we get here is you get kind of when was this thing created, when was it updated, and you know inputs and outputs. And it's already ran, so you can see the raw output that this orchestrator function returned. It doesn't tell you anything about what actually happened in the process. And so one thing that we've also added, and feel free to interrupt me with questions, is I can say.
Right, like duration isn't there, for example.
Well, you can kind of compute that from the last updated time and the created time.
I wasn't sure if it was literally just the gap between those two.
Yeah, but what you can also do is if you say show history, we're actually going to show you what were the different things that your function did and when did it do them. So for example, the first event was, hey, we started the execution. Next one was, hey, we completed this activity called say hello.
Right.
You know, and we give you the timestamps for all of those.
So this is super loosely, I always like analogies,
because
you know how well those work.
Mm-hmm.
This is super loosely the call stack for your function, kind of.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. That's a good way to think about it. And in this case, we can also, if you add another parameter, show history output equals true. You can also see what were the values that each of these function calls returned. Now, we make that another query string parameter because in some cases it could be like a big payload and you don't necessarily want to dump all that information every time.
Could even be binary data. Like it might not even be textual. Or
sure.
Does it,
I mean, yeah, it could be some base 64 encoded image or something. And yeah. So you may not want to look at that every time. And so you can see, you know, the outputs of these individual activities.
Okay.
So that's kind of a useful thing that you can do to get more information about, you know, what did my function orchestration do? What were the outputs?
Sure. So what about App Insights? I see it's hiding back there. I feel like
yes.
I feel like our watchers would like to see that in less of the console window.
Yeah. You know where we're going with this. So one thing I was kind of hoping to do too is I have a function app deployed in Azure already, and I'm just going to go through my history here.
So no more localhost here.
So we're not doing localhost anymore. I have basically a MapReduce orchestration which goes through and it's doing MapReduce on like 9 gigabytes of taxi data for New York City in 2017. So it's a good chunk of data. We like this scenario. I'm just going to go ahead and kick this off, and this is going to start running in the background. Now, this application is configured with Application Insights, and so one of the things that we can do is if we go to, if you go to the portal and you've configured App Insights, we just have a link right here that you can click into to go directly to that App Insights instance. Again, nothing special for durable functions yet. But when you actually get into Application Insights, we have some interesting things here. So there is a traces collection, and you can just do a simple, sometimes if I click on the wrong thing, weird stuff happens. So I'm just going to do a query over the traces collection. And we get a bunch of, log spew that comes out here. And, some of this is just generic for Azure Functions. But buried inside, we also have some special traces in here for durable functions.
Okay.
In fact, we can actually see, I think, in here that you know, some traces that say, hey, we're processing these data files. But anyways, what I wanted to highlight was, if you dig into this, there's actually a property here called custom dimensions. And if you dig further into that, you can actually see that we have a category called host.triggers.durableTask. That's how you know that it's actually our extension that's emitting this kind of tracking data for these orchestrations. It's going to tell you things like, hey, this was an activity function. Hey, was this a replay execution or not? You know, what was the instance ID? And so on and so forth. And so there's a lot of useful information buried in here. And so what I was kind of hoping to do was, I'm going to scroll down here. I actually have some completed queries. You can do some interesting filters here to get more information about what happened. So for example, if I just want to query only my durable functions traces, I can do that.
So we just cleaned up the data a whole bunch.
Yes. And then another trick that I like to do, and I'm just going to apologize for the copy-paste here. But you know, we can take those custom dimensions and we can actually extend them out into proper things that we return, and we can do operations on those. You know, we can filter, for example, based on, hey, don't show me any replays. I just want to show like the actual execution.
Yep.
And so I can do something like filter where, you know, hey, make sure that this is not a replay when I query for, you know, all my instance history. And then let's clean this up even more. Let's say I just want, you know, I don't want to, I see all these columns. I don't necessarily know what they're talking about. Let's just project a few that I actually care about. So there's this project keyword in the kind of application. This is the Application Insights query language.
This is a little bit like select.
Exactly. So we run that. And now we have a slightly more clean view of kind of what's going on here. So I can see my function name. I can see that, hey, this particular orchestration was scheduled. You know, we scheduled the get data files function, which is going to go and get a list of files it needs to process. You know, we're going to see some await points. We're going to see a bunch of activity functions which process the data in parallel. Those all get scheduled basically around the same time here if we look at these timestamps. So a lot of interesting, we can actually see the history here in Application Insights. You can even get really fancy if you want and do some interesting aggregations. There's this interesting summarize keyword where it's kind of like...
I use that all the time.
Okay, kind of like the SQL group by. In this case, you know, maybe I want to get the latest status on every, you know, function orchestration instance that I've ever run. And basically, you know, I can see, you know, I've run a whole bunch of these instances. I can see kind of what was the last thing that happened. You know, what state are they in? You know, this one is still running, so it's in the started state. These other ones have completed. And, you know, really just get kind of an overview of, you know, I kicked off all these jobs that are running in the background in my serverless environment. You know, how do I know, you know, what status they're in? And Application Insights is a great way of doing that. So I really wanted to just kind of highlight this for folks who like durable functions.
Absolutely. Now, you and I know this query language is Kusto.
Yes.
And for the folks at home that want to try this, if you type in Kusto, you'll actually get some documents that actually define this language and help you use it.
Mm.
That's certainly the way I learned how to use it.
Uh-huh.
So that could be helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Dig into this query language. You can do a lot of really cool stuff with it.
Yeah, and I actually found, you know, day one of using it, I was a little bit intimidated by it, but mm-hmm. after just a couple of days of using it, I found that I could just quickly bang out these queries and kind of answer any question that I needed.
For sure. And one thing that I find helpful too is you can save these queries as well. And you know, they give you a nice place where you can go and pull them back up later. So if you have things that you like to look for and, you know, just stash those away, you can pull them back up later.
Right. Kind of like save queries in VSTS.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's in the cloud.
Okay, well, this was awesome.
Great.
I think we learned a bunch. And I like that, you know, last time you were here, it was kind of the pitch on this service you work on, but this time it was super helpful in terms of how do you actually do this in practice, because it turns out only part of your time is writing code. You know, a big part of your time is actually understanding how your service or your application actually works.
Yep, absolutely.
And then you figure out what to do next based on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Awesome. Okay, that was another episode of On.NET. Chris showed us how to do diagnostics and analytics with application insights for durable functions. Thanks for watching.